Welcome to Insight, live at noon with a rebroadcast at 7 p.m. We're taking a listen back to some of the best conversations so far this year. First up, the oldest Chinese restaurant in California and possibly the country is closer to Sacramento than you might think. Ahead on Insight, we'll learn about the history of Chicago Cafe and how it became the focus of a UC Davis research project. Also, she's a Sacramento fourth grader by school day and a music sensation outside the classroom. We'll meet hip-hop princess Boss Tootie about where her love for performance began. Finally, if you've been backpacking, you can appreciate when the time comes to just plop down with a hot meal on the trail. We'll meet a Sacramento kitchen that's putting its own spin on backpacking comfort food with a Latin twist. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. That's all coming up today on a special best of edition of Insight. But first, here's the news. From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. On this holiday weekend, we're taking a listen back to some of the best conversations so far this year, and starting off with a recent discovery in our backyard. If you were asked where the oldest Chinese restaurant is located, chances are you wouldn't think of this city, which is about a half hour from Sacramento. Researchers recently discovered that the oldest Chinese restaurant in California is Chicago Cafe, located in Woodland, and it might be the oldest Chinese restaurant in the nation. I spoke with Jack Chin, a professor at UC Davis School of Law, who sparked this research. We're also joined by Amy Fong, her parents own Chicago Cafe, and Carla Meyer is a senior editor at UC Davis and the storytelling behind this discovery. Well, Professor Chin, I want to start with you because you have been researching Chinese restaurants across the country for years. Where did your connection to this piece of Asian American history begin?
Well, Chinese restaurants are important, I think, to the Chinese community as a whole, economically, socially, culturally. As a historical matter, it was one of the few places that Chinese immigrants could work. And it's continued to be an economic lifeline for them. I got interested in the topic. I'm a law professor, and I got interested in the topic legally because I found in earlier research that in the early 20th century, there was an effort by the unions to eliminate Chinese restaurants from the United States. They were competition, they were thought of as cheap labor, and they were affordable restaurants that attracted a lot of customers. And so American restaurant owners and American white workers were concerned and tried to get rid of them. Ultimately, of course, that did not succeed.
Hmm. You know, in addition to that, I mean, you also detail in your research, I mean, just a paper that was published in December looking at the oldest Chinese restaurants in the country, that there is a piece to why Chinese Americans, when they immigrated here, why they chose restaurants as a profession. Can you explain that?
Yes. Well, this is a period from the 1880s to the 1960s. There were restrictions on Asian immigration to the United States. And one of the ways that Chinese Americans and other Asians could get to the United States was as a so-called merchant. And owning a Chinese restaurant made you a merchant. And so there was an incentive for people to try to come to the United States who were otherwise racially ineligible to immigrate to go into the Chinese restaurant business.
Mm. And you obviously have been researching this for years, and you're a professor of law at UC Davis. When did you land at the Chicago Cafe? Was it because of research, or were you a customer?
I was a customer. I just saw the sign. I thought, well, I like Chinese food. I like American food, too. So I popped in, and it's a wonderful old-fashioned place. And I noticed right away that the menu and other signs said that it was founded in 1903. And I thought, wow, that's a long time. That restaurant has been there for a while. And then sometime after that, I saw stories in the media that the Peking noodle parlors of Butte, Montana, was reputed to be the oldest Chinese restaurant in the United States. And it said that it was founded in 1911. And I thought to myself, wow, this is kind of interesting. how does this make sense that this Chicago cafe is 1903, but someplace from 1911 is the oldest? Mm. And so I decided to make this a serious academic research project and see if we could get to the bottom of the question of age.
You know, some may think or even be surprised, like Butte, Montana has the oldest Chinese restaurant, or even Woodland in Yolo County. Why isn't it in places like, I don't know, New York, San Francisco, or other cities like Los Angeles?
Because on the one hand, if you go back 100 years or 120 years, there were Chinese people in significant Chinese communities in places like Butte, Montana, in places like Woodland. And so it shouldn't be surprising that there were restaurants that date back that long. And why not New York or San Francisco? Well, the answer to that, I think, has to do with real estate, because in 1990 or in 1970, we would be able to find older restaurants in San Francisco or New York. There was a place called Hang Far Low, which later turned into the Four C's, which dated back to 1885, and it closed in, it's in San Francisco, was in San Francisco, and it closed in 2017. And so it was around for a long, long time. But it's now an apartment building, I understand, and the Port Arthur in New York was another longtime Chinese restaurant, and it is something else now, too. And so I think it has to do with the real estate churn on the one hand, and the historical dissemination of the Chinese community in the West, you know, and so there's no Chinatown in Butte, Montana anymore. There's no Chinatown in Woodland anymore. There used to be, but there's still Chinese families and they're running their restaurants.
Well, that brings me to you, Amy. Your parents own the Chicago Cafe in Woodland. How far back does your family's roots go in Woodland?
That's a very good question. So it's our third generation now. So my dad currently owns it. And before him, my grandfather. And I think before that, it was another family member of some sort. And my dad came over in 1973, he told me. And I was born in 77. And so it's been three generations in our family.
Wow. And I imagine it must have been such a fixture in your life and your childhood in Woodland.
Absolutely. I was known as the kid in the bassinet in the back of the restaurant. So, you know, all the customers would come by and they'd watch me grow up. And, you know, I would be sitting in the kitchen on a little stool, you know, peeling potatoes, peeling shrimp. And I remember, you know, many of our very familiar customers coming in from the back and, you know, hey, Amy, what'd you do for, you know, to get KP duty? And as a child, I'm like, what do you mean? You know, this is just our way of life. You know, I had no idea that it was meant to be like punishment or anything. And so, yeah, I just grew up in that restaurant and you know, had friends that were the customers. And I felt like I had this big extended family. And it was wonderful growing up that way. It gave me a real sense of community in Woodland. And back then, when I was growing up, the population was only, I remember the sign entering Woodland said 20,000. And in when I went to high school, there was, I could probably count in my grade, the Asian families like on one hand. And so, yeah, they're it was quite smaller back then.
Yeah, and so it's changed a great deal.
It has changed a great deal. But I think growing up in the restaurant made me, you know, really kind of have a sense of heritage as well. So I worked, you know, alongside my paternal grandparents and my parents. And, you know, as a younger child, it was trying to make sense of the culture. You know, I remember my grandmother, you know, ripping ribbons out of my hair in elementary school. You know, we don't wear those colors. Those colors are only for, you know, funerals and things like that. But I had no idea, you know, that was never told to me. So I kind of learned the hard way, you know, things like that with our culture. You know, I would be sweeping the restaurant at the end of the day, and I'd be whistling, and my grandpa would just yell at me. He's like, "We don't do that." And I was, you know, I wasn't told why. I had to kind of look it up as an adult. You know, apparently whistling would anger the gods or something like that. You know, so, you know, I kind of had to learn all that growing up. And so it was challenging as a, you know, first generation American kind of growing up in this immigrant family, kind of learning our culture. But I think it had a profound, effect on me and my sense of heritage. So looking back as an adult, I really cherish that really strong, family bond and respecting elders and really hard work. You know, the work ethic was incredible. You know, the restaurant would open at 6 a.m. and close at like 6 or 7 p.m. And there was no, you know, we didn't close in between breakfast and lunch and dinner. They worked throughout that whole time. And it was a lot of labor. And I've never heard them complain about, you know, being tired, being in pain or anything. That was just kind of what we did. And so...
And I think it's, I mean, it can be easy to take for granted how long your parents' restaurant and your family's restaurant has been in Woodland. I mean, the restaurant business is very difficult. A lot of restaurants don't even survive or even make a profit, you know, in their first years. And I think that is a testament to your family's connection to the Woodland community. I would imagine you have regulars and also generations of family who've been eating at your restaurant.
Absolutely. That's one of my fondest memories is, you know, the generations of people that have been coming. It was really like a local watering hole. You know, Woodland is a farming community, not an affluent, you know, scholarly, town. And so all the people that gathered at our restaurant daily were your blue-collared workers, you know, your farmers, your contractors, your painters, your, you know, steel workers and things like that. And so all these different families would gather every, you know, these workers would gather in the morning and there would be boisterous, you know, conversation, making fun of each other. The Italians and the Spaniards and the Mexicans would all just kind of have fun together. And so, you know, they started bringing their kids and then their kids started bringing their kids and we all just grew up together. So, you know, at my wedding, my parents literally invited all of Woodland, you know. So there were 300 people at my wedding that they put on because we felt like we had to include all of them because they are essentially part of our family.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that's why restaurants and food are such an important piece to culture and to community. Carla, that brings me to you. You're the senior editor at UC Davis School of Law, but you have been a journalist in the past, especially a food critic writing food reviews in the greater Sacramento region. What stands out to you about this story? I mean, you did such a wonderful job telling it on the UC Davis website.
Oh, thank you so much. It's basically hits every point possible for me because I was a history major. So I'm listening to Amy and Jack talk and I'm thinking, can I do a follow-up story? And the food aspect, of course, and just to know, you know, firsthand from reporting on food for so long, how incredible it is, as you said, for a restaurant to be open for 10 years and for 100 and something years is really incredible. Also, once I stepped into the place, I was thinking, there is nothing like this place that I know of in this whole area. Honestly, I've never been in a place quite like it in San Francisco either, or anywhere else. And I've always loved Jack's research. And I knew about his research before about restaurants and his paper that he had from like 2018 about restaurants that was really widely publicized. And I love that he works with students, and I've always liked that. And students were a really big part of this research project. So it was just basically everything in the world that I would like in one story. So it's been pretty great.
You know, with your experience as a food critic and just with the restaurant industry in Sacramento, which has changed a lot in over the years, what you did such a great job of making, allowing us to visualize what the restaurant is like if we've never been to the Chicago Cafe. Just really charming touches, like Amy said, that people would enter through the back, you know, and talk to her parents. And it's really a three-person job. I mean, it's just your parents, and then you have one server, I believe. What went into just kind of the storytelling but behind an important piece of history, not only in Yolo County, but in California?
You know, it's interesting because when I would talk to people about the place who've never been there, I just think there's a real difference if you have been there. So I wrote it kind of in the way where you're sort of helicoptering in. And that's a way of storytelling where you give the sense of the place. And so to do that, I went and, you know, interviewed customers, and like Amy said, I just hit upon a couple with their son who was 40 years old and 36 years old, and he'd been going there his whole life, and his daughter goes there and she's vegan, and they make things for her and there's stuff available for her too. And so she just happened to not be there at that time. So that's three generations right there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And it was just a lovely community story as well. It as well as the historical impact of it. Just how much when I talked to Amy for the story, how much people, if her parents are closed for a little while, for just a bit, they'll send messages to her, worried messages, are they closing? And yeah, it's just a real community staple.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're learning about the research from UC Davis, which found the oldest Chinese restaurant in the state, possibly the country, is located in the Yolo County city of Woodland. It is called Chicago Cafe. You know, Amy talked about how her parents, they immigrated here in the 70s, but you found that this restaurant, in connection to the Fong family, goes back more than a century. I can only imagine the amount of work that took for you and students to really go through the documents and get this confirmed. Can you kind of peel back the curtain and let us know, kind of share with us how you were able to accomplish that?
One of the main resources was newspapers. The Fong family is well documented in the Woodland Daily Democrat. The restaurant is well documented in that source too. We see ads well over 100 years and things happening, stories, fights, arrests, donations. Someone stole a turkey once. And
then they returned the bones, right?
Yeah.
I said thank you with a lovely thank you note.
And so, you know, you get a flavor of what life was like in Woodland back then and the role that the Chicago Cafe played in it. It is amazing to see these old stories because they would put things in the newspaper like, you know, someone went to Sacramento for the weekend and came back. That would be in the paper, or somebody's visiting from Los Angeles, you know. There were real local stories about what people were up to. And so that was one of the ways that we found out what life was like in Woodland and what was going on there. We went to the Yolo County archives, also in Woodland, and did what we could to find additional information. There are city directories in this period, but we found that you know, in the first part of the 20th century, they didn't list Chinese businesses or Chinese residences, and so we couldn't find, you know, exactly when the Chicago Cafe first came into existence, because they wouldn't be put in the city directory because things were very different back then.
Yeah,
we do have plans to go back and explore. There's an old storage room at the Chicago Cafe that may have some additional information. There's some nooks and crannies there that I really don't think have been gone over in some years. And so we're hoping to perhaps find some additional documents or additional clues.
I mean, this must have been such a treat for you and your family, Amy, for your parents and your brother. I mean, although your story of immigration starts in the 70s, there were waves of the Fong family in prior generations coming to California and to Woodland. That is a very common story of immigration. It must be so kind of touching to kind of get a glimpse of what prior generations created in Woodland.
Yes, it's actually quite a accomplishment. And so, yeah, I'm very excited to be part of it. And as an adult, kind of learning, you know, my own history has been very interesting. And I was lucky enough in 2010 to go on a trip with my parents back to their ancestral villages in China and Hong Kong, and to actually see the houses that they grew up in as children. You know, these corrugated iron rooftops and you know, mud walls, and they didn't even meet. It was like a almost like a shelter. Rainwater was still coming through, you know, wood stoves, no running water, no electricity, you know, outhouse in the back. You know, you had to take this big ladle on a bamboo, you know, pole to kind of flush the outhouse kind of thing. My dad's village back in Toisan. And so he moved out of that village when he was, I would guess, like 9 or 10, I think. And he moved into a more upscale village in Hong Kong in the New Territories, and that's where he met my mother. But her house, I mean, although it was a step up from my dad's house, it was still, yes, it had a, you know, cement floor, and but it was still just very, very, you know, kind of crude. And I remember my mom telling me that they grew or they raised pigs for a living. But until I saw that house, I never knew that the pig pens were under the same roof as the living quarters. Oh. Literally, you walk into the house, there's the living quarters, and back in the back were the pig pens. And so it was, you know, after that trip, it was just, to me, you know, I have nothing to complain about with our lives here in America. So it was very transformational on that trip for me.
We only have about 30 seconds or so left, but some people may be wondering, why Chicago Cafe? Where did the name come from? Do you have any idea?
I've asked my parents that a lot, and they have no clue. But I think in Jack's research, he's found that around the turn of the century, there were a lot of restaurants that were named Chicago that had that, you know, name in it. So I don't know, but apparently common back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, Professor Chin, thank you so much for doing the work. How fascinating.
Thank you.
Now I want to eat there. Amy and Carla, thank you so much, too, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Jack Chin is a professor at UC Davis School of Law, and Carla Meyer is a senior editor at the law school. They're talking about Chicago Cafe in Woodland, which they discovered is the oldest Chinese restaurant in California and possibly the nation. We're also joined by Amy Fong, whose family owns Chicago Cafe. Up next, she's a Sacramento fourth grader by school day and a hip-hop princess outside the classroom. We'll meet Boss Tootie. You're listening to a special best-of edition of Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.